Listening. Unit 8, page 62. C. Listen again and check your answers.
I've been using the flipped classroom teaching methodology in my civil engineering class for 2 terms now, and I think I'm finally getting the hang of it. In fact, I'm beginning to wonder why I didn't do it sooner. The Education Board, which was quite sceptical, finally approved my experiment, if you will, after I pestered them for almost 2 years to do so. My fellow teachers were very much behind me, as they wanted to see how it would work in practice. When they approved it, I felt both gratified and a bit panicked. What if it doesn't work, I thought to myself. What if my students hate it? But I was confident that as long as I put together the video content, which was extensive, and followed the methodology as closely as other professors who had employed it and published articles about it, then I ought to see positive results. In case you might be wondering what a flipped classroom actually is, a brief description of it is you deliver the instructional content online for students to watch at home, and the homework is done in class. It's been in practice for a couple of decades, although it took a while to catch on. I suppose it took statistical data to convince the powers that be of its usefulness, as I'm not sure if instructor testimony would have swayed many board members. But that said, evidence was astounding. Some classes in which failure rates were at 40% really got turned around, flipped, if you will, to pass rates of 80%. I'm talking about secondary schools with troubling student performance, of course. These were the ones in which teachers had become fed up with traditional teaching methods. Desperate to try something, they adopted a flipped classroom. The birth of this methodology in practice is, interestingly enough, accidental. At the secondary school level, it more or less started when chemistry teachers, Jonathan Bergman and Aaron Sams, began recording their lectures and posting them for students who had missed class. They weren't the first to explore the concept. University physics professor Eric Mazur published theoretical materials on flipping classrooms, and mathematics instructor Salman Khan, founder of Khan Academy and a major contributor to the method, utilised it to create thousands of video lectures for his academy. But as Bergman and Sams argue, because no one set out to pioneer the concept, there technically is no inventor. But what these instructors stumbled upon is that when students receive the information transmission, as one would call the traditional classroom lesson, at home, a more meaningful discussion ensues in class. Any number of assignments can be carried out on a variety of subject matters: lab experiments, document analysis, discussions of current events, all mostly centred around interactive activities and relatively few individual tasks. Granted, I had to pour a great deal of energy into actually making all this happen. Before I flipped my classroom, I spent countless hours on video editing lectures I had recorded in class that I gave during my traditional lesson delivery. I myself had to learn how to use editing software. All this on top of my regular schedule. Of course, now that I've got over that hump, the videos are ready for viewing and need little maintenance other than the occasional updating of information. I realise the limitations of this teaching methodology. What if students, even in this day and age, don't have internet access or even own a computer? That's certainly the case in many parts of the world. Furthermore, it takes self-discipline to keep from falling behind in watching lectures. While I do my best to ensure there is entertainment value, inevitably there are some students that have trouble forcing themselves to watch them daily. And while that can be addressed, there is also this passing thought that we all spend too much time in front of a computer. I would argue, though, that watching informative videos is far better than many of the common practices students engage in electronically.